Hello, welcome again to the Macro and Volatility Podcast, where we discuss the world of investing through the lens of cross-asset and derivative frameworks. My name is Michael Purvis of Talbach & Capital Advisors, a macro research firm for institutional investors. I'm here with my good friend and intellectual sparring partner, Josh Silva.
Hello, I'm Josh Silva, Passaic Partners, an investment fund for institutional investors. We focus on generating alpha and reducing risk through the use of derivatives. Today is Tuesday, March 26, 2024. So, Michael, what did you find the most interesting about last week's FOMC meeting?
I thought it was a very interesting meeting in that it was both dovish and hawkish at the same time. The 2024 real and nominal projections for Fed funds remained at three cuts, despite the Fed upgrading of inflation and GDP from the December meeting. But the 2025 and 2026 real and nominal projections nudged higher there. What is also, I think, important is that the long-run forecast edged above 2.5% for the first time since 2019. But from a markets perspective, what was the most interesting was not the move in rates or gold or equities, but rather in rate volatility. The move index came down last week and is now for the first time since the Fed started its hiking cycle in the low 90s, and I think that's a very significant move here. So, Josh, I think lower rate volatility is important for the economy because it means consumers and corporations can plan and make key decisions without worrying about whether rates are going to swing up or down by 200 basis points over the next year. Put another way, high rate volatility is a very inefficient way to tighten the economy, unless, of course, you're a bond trader. But if rate volatility is going to remain at these lower levels, what does that mean for equity volatility?
So thank you. I think this will allow for equity volatility to stabilize even more than it already has. In other words, lower vol for longer. I think with the Fed getting to where it is, it's eliminated a lot of the uncertainty in markets that we've had for the last 2 years, whether the Fed was going to hike, whether the Fed was going to ease coming off of ZIRP. A lot of these things are now sort of out there. As the Fed once said, we've raised rates for the next recession. So they have given themselves the ability to deal with problems going forward. I do think, though, that what this also has allowed is for stocks to go higher. In other words, to continue to go higher. This uncertainty going away, and you could say vol is sort of a way of expressing uncertainty, is good for equity markets. But the important thing for equity markets going forward is that the E drives equity markets. In other words, the markets have gone higher to this point based on a combination of the Fed being less aggressive, a combination of AI stocks really leading the market higher. I think for the market to continue to go higher, we need the E's to increase in the things outside of the AI stocks. In other words, we need earnings growth to continue to happen, to continue to drive the market higher. If these things happen, I think we will start to see the market go higher at a higher vol, very, very similar to the late 90s, like we discussed in our last podcast. In other words, higher market, higher vol, because it's being driven by true growth and true earnings. I think even if we don't have that and the market sells off, I think the Fed has given itself the ability to reset or put the Fed put in. In other words, vol will go probably lower on a sell-off and such. And therefore, you know, you probably want to get back in, vol grind higher, and we'll have more of a 2017 type market where it's just sort of a slow grind at a low vol. My one caveat is if the risk of inflation comes back, in other words, if we see inflation go higher, that's going to have an impact on rates. And it's the speed of inflation, in other words, it's going to have the impact on rates. Therefore, it'll drive the move, and therefore, we might have other issues. What I do think is that the last point being is that equities and bonds are going to continue to be highly correlated to each other.
I think, you know, to help put some of that in context, and I agree with much of what you just said, but if you look at the relationship of the move index, the move is the VIX for the Treasury curve, and its relationship to the VIX itself, that has never been, it went to record extremes one way during COVID, and right now, or over the last year, it's been at record extremes the other way. In other words, equity vol was really low, Treasury vol was really, really high. And so I think what that ratio should normalize here, and I think that when I look at, you know, if you look at the VIX from the December dovish meeting, it was slowly grinding higher. We talked about this in our earlier podcast. It broke that uptrend last week, right? And I think that was that Treasury vol coming down is part of it. So on a bigger picture basis, I look at this move down in Treasury vol, even though if it's impacted, put downward pressure on the VIX, it's part of an inevitable normalization here as we get through this very unusual hiking cycle there. And as we get through that, then I think we will be back to exactly what you talked about, where it's going to be more, you know, our earnings there. If the earnings are there, equities will be bought, right? And the Fed is further out of the foreground there. And then the VIX takes on some of that more inherently higher volatility, like you saw in the late 90s, as we discussed in the last podcast.
I think that relationship that you just discussed, which is the VIX to move, has had extremes. As you said, the high VIX, low move, and then we had the high move and low VIX. And so the spread, as you would like to say, between the two, I think is actually probably one of the most important things that are happening in terms of that normalizing. Like, that's the Fed normalizing. That's the inflation picture normalizing. That's, you know, instead of being a sort of macro view of equities driving things higher, I think it becomes a much more micro view of earnings, which is what we just said. It's an earnings growth rally that needs to happen next.
And I think part of this discussion really gets back to, I think, what the Fed has done quite masterfully at last week's meeting, and actually through really since the December meeting, has been basically provided optionality for itself. And it needs optionality because the inflation picture, like, I don't think inflation is going to be surging higher from here, but is it going to tidily just crawl back to 2% and below? No, it's not. And we've seen inflation upside surprises. And so the Fed needs that. And I think what we can see is that rate volatility is coming in. And that's good because rate volatility is an inefficient way to tighten the economy, very inefficient way to tighten the economy. But if the economy ultimately needs higher real and nominal rates, the Fed can achieve that, right? The Fed is solving for rate optionality, if you will, and that's going to ultimately mean a more normalized rate volatility and ultimately more normalized equity volatility condition.
I think that correlation between equities and bonds is going to continue to remain high. I think the correlation of the move in the VIX, so the vol of the two, is going to go back to being normal and remain high as, you know, fixed income vol goes up, equity vol go up. If fixed income vol goes down, equity vol go down. I think they're going to be related to each other. And I think that, you know, my last sort of tidbit is the one thing that worries me is I do think we are going into a commodities super cycle and the demand for commodities is to continue to go up. And I think the question is what is the speed of that? What is the tailwind to inflation? I think, as you pointed out, that 2% target is going to be very hard to achieve. And the backdrop, even in a slightly rising inflationary environment and a commodity environment. And so I think it's something to think about. We haven't had a commodity type strong cycle in a long, long time. And I think it's something to pay attention to because it would be the one thing that I think that can create some real negative headwinds and difficulty for the Fed going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think of it as a commodity super cycle light and super cycle slow there, but I do think there are ongoing supply constraints that are moving at a slower pace than what we knew during the COVID and Ukraine shocks, as two examples of fast-moving supply shocks there. And these are longer-term, slower-moving, very significant supply conditions. And it's not just in commodities. I think it's also in the labor pool, and I think it's also in housing to varying degrees. And I think that's one of the reasons why some of these inflation numbers are continuing to stay higher longer, and why the Fed needs optionality, and why the Fed is taking, you know, what I call, you know, a long, slow walk down this last mile.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, we think in the world in instantaneous information, and this isn't going to be instantaneous information. This is going to take a slow, long understanding of what's changed and what hasn't. And I think it's something that's hard for the markets to deal with because it doesn't deal with slow. It's slow isn't its thing. So that being said, you know, it's great to talk again, and you know, this is always an interesting subject. Again, thanks. I'm Josh Silva, Passaic Partners. You can find me on Bloomberg, the website Passaic Partners, or the Passaic Partners LinkedIn page.
This is Michael Purvis at Talbach and Capital Advisors. You can find me on LinkedIn as well or at Bloomberg. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.